Good morning. What a fantastic day for us to open up the Word of God for a few moments and just consider, how does God want me to live today? Christmas Day, what an awesome opportunity to glorify Him and rejoice in Him. And as parents and grandparents, an opportunity to have an impact and an influence on the lives of those that will carry on after we're gone. You know, I'm thinking of Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. She was such a godly young lady, but her heart had been prepared to respond to the voice and the will of God. Let me read a few verses from Luke chapter 1. I'm starting at verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month which was called barren. For with God nothing is impossible. Now notice Mary's response. Verse 38, Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She had a response like Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21 says, Thine eyes shall hear a word behind thee saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. This is the way, walk ye in it. You see, this is what Mary had learned to do. Her parents had done a fantastic job of teaching her the principles and the precepts of the Word of God. She was now prepared to receive the indwelling Christ. Now let's change that up a little bit. In the same way, we parents are commanded to prepare the hearts of our children to be open to the voice of God and to receive the indwelling Christ as well. Now I want you to notice the characteristics of this kind of training. It says in verse 28 of Luke chapter 1 that she was highly favored. That means she was graciously accepted. So we see there the unconditional love from her parents. And when you have been given children, God wants you to show them unconditional love. Secondly, it says she was blessed. In other words, she was consecrated with holy prayers. And there's the uninterrupted intercession. Yes, some parents have unconditional love for their kids, but they don't have the uninterrupted intercession. There's not the praying for them on a continual basis. But this is what her parents did. She was blessed. Then it says in verse 30, she found favor. That means to be found after searching. It indicates a searching heart after God. And so there is an unselfish yieldedness. We see that Mary was just yielded to whatever God's will might be. It's interesting that her name is Mary. You know the name Mary means their rebellion? Isn't that interesting? See, all children have a rebellious nature, and only the Word of God can bring conviction. And the indwelling Christ will be the one who can overcome that rebellious nature and bring about a character change. Now, how does that happen? Well, the Bible tells us that it is a day and night opportunity. It tells us that we have the privilege of being able to share with our children the precious things of the Lord. But it says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 that this should be done on a regular basis. This should be done day and night. I'll read the verse. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So 365 days of the year, day and night, throughout their formative years, we should be sharing the Word of God with them. Beginning of the day to get their directions, the end of the day to reflect on their day, and to teach them how to meditate. That means to reflect and think upon, to consider everything that's happened that day and look for God, look for the hand of God. And then that word that, it says that they may experience all of these things. That. They will observe to do all that is written therein. Now notice, they don't just read the Bible, they don't just consider it, but they do it. Not just do what they want to do, but they do what is written in the Word of God. They find the will of God, that's verse 8, the first part of it. Then they follow the will of God, that's the second part of verse 8, they do it. Then they finish the will of God, that's the third part of Joshua 1:8. So they find it, they follow it, and they finish it. And that is something that parents should be teaching their children day and night. And so success is the promised reward. That means special insight enables them to spot Satan's traps, to know when to turn and when to run. The Bible says in Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Why? "That I might not sin against thee." Somebody said, "This book will keep me from sin," or "sin will keep me from this book." And so consequently, to help our children develop a heart for God and to help their hearts to be open to receiving the indwelling Christ, we are teaching them day and night. Now, in Psalm chapter 1, the Bible tells us kind of a success program, shall we say. And it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So there's that word again. You get out of the world in verse 1, you get into the Word in verse 2, and then we see that that meditation influences our children in some very special ways. It strengthens and gives them stability, kind of like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. See, prosperity is promised to such children. In other words, the practice of reading and meditating on the Word of God 365 days of the year, from infancy to the time they leave home, God says there'll be good success. Now, notice we as parents have to model this as well. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 3, give us that principle. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." Here we are as parents. "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways." And so consequently, we as parents have to be uncorrupted by sin, because our kids are watching us. They're checking out to see if what we are telling them really works. So the key to keeping children out of the rebellious teens is to keep them into the Word of God. Now, they make their choices, but when we show them the principles of the Word of God and how to respond when they do sin, in Psalm 119 and verse 9, that says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Helping them to understand how to respond, how to ask forgiveness when they do sin. See, so many times, young parents let their medical doctors tell them how to rear their children, instead of letting the Word of God tell them how to rear their children. Now, let's talk about developing the habit. That means teaching them to meditate daily, not dependent upon how they feel, but simply because they're obedient. And just as you ask if they've done their chores and brushed their teeth, you ask them if they've had their devotions. And here's another good question. What did you learn? I asked a teenager the other day, "So, you done with schoolwork today?" "Yeah." "What did you learn?" And they said, Oh, see, that's a great question, isn't it? Did you have your devotions? What did you learn? Now, how do we really make that work? Well, we start early. We start early. And we plan their reading. I would encourage you to start with 1 John. Have them read one verse in the morning and one verse in the afternoon. Just as they are coming to the end of kindergarten, they have learned how to read a little bit, and so they can read one verse. And then they mark the Bible where they left off, and then they increase the verses as they grow. As they get into 3rd and 4th grade, they can begin to read maybe one chapter a day. As they get into 6th grade, maybe one chapter in the morning and one chapter in the evening. And so they are increasing the understanding of the Word of God. They get into high school, and they're able to read more. And, of course, we as parents will help them with some incentives in staying faithful. You see, so many times they get discouraged because they've dropped off in their devotions a couple of days, and they say, ah, well, what's the use? But we need to be helping them to be faithful and encouraging them, giving them rewards for their faithfulness. And then check up regularly. And by the way, share with them, as parents, what you are learning in the Word of God as well. And I would be quick to say, make sure that it's done before any television is watched or any phone calls are made or any time on their computer games or things like that, because preparing their hearts for an indwelling Christ is a continual process. But let me promise you, it's worth every effort necessary in the end result. Can you imagine the joy of Mary's parents when they discovered that she was carrying the indwelling Christ? Imagine the joy of the birth of the Lord Jesus and watching Mary teach and train. Yes, the Bible says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That was what his mother was teaching him, Luke 2:52. And so, even as Mary did for our Lord Jesus Christ, we as parents are instructed to do the same thing, so that they can increase in wisdom and in stature. Then, of course, in favor with God and favor with men. And as we do that, the indwelling Christ becomes their best friend. My precious friends, on this Christmas day, the indwelling Christ changed the world when he was born on that special day. But the indwelling Christ will change your child and your children as you focus on the same thing that Mary's parents did: unconditional love, uninterrupted intercession, and unselfish yieldedness. May God grant you a fantastic Christmas, and let's live the rest of the year in that victory. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.